Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd, my people of Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So I'm wondering, did you pay much attention to the opening hymn, the carol that we sang at the very beginning? We'll put up the first verse again. So, because it tells us a lot about the wise men. It tells us, well, how many were there?
Three.
What were they? It says they were kings. Where were they from? Right. And we just, as we heard, they came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Unfortunately, the hymn, which was written by John Hopkins Jr. back in 1857, perpetuates a few misconceptions. Because if you were listening closely to what Mark just read from Matthew's gospel, we find out that these magi or wise men, magi means wise men, okay, that's where we get wise men from, they're not kings. Okay, they're probably more astrologers or seers or, you know, they're not kings, although we just sang about some kings. Hopkins tells us that there were three, we sing a three, and if you got a nativity set, there's probably three of them, right? But the truth is, Matthew doesn't tell us how many there were. He just says that there were magi, that there are wise men who came from not the Orient. We think Orient, we're thinking what? Asia, right? Yeah. Well, actually, Matthew tells us they came from the east, which was probably most likely Persia, which was Iran or Iraq. Those kind of, that's probably where they originated from. So we don't really know how many there were. And we don't, you know, we know they're from the east. We know that they're probably not really kings. Matthew doesn't tell us their names, and yet they've been given names. Do you know their names? There is, what are they? Melchior, Gaspar, Balthazar. It might be on your ordination papers. You might want to remember that one. Just actually, it won't. It won't. They may try to trip you up with it and tell you, what's their names? Matthew doesn't tell us. Because Matthew doesn't tell us. Those names actually came to us from a 6th century. So 6th century manuscript called the Excerpta Latina Barbari. I believe that's how, it's Latin, I don't know. But that's where they originated from, not from Matthew's gospel, because Matthew doesn't tell us that. And the popular belief is, and the belief, and what's mostly depicted in many times our nativity sets is that the wise men showed up when? Christmas, yeah, when Jesus was born, right? I don't know if your nativity says any different than mine, but most of the time you got Mary and Joseph, and you got baby Jesus, and you got an angel over here, and you got some shepherds and maybe some lambs, and then you got them wise men right there too, right? Well, the reality is probably they didn't show up until a year or two later, and there's some clues to that, because Matthew tells us that they visited the child in a house, okay? So it wasn't in a manger. So there's some clues, and then what Herod does later on, out of his paranoia, the slaughter of the innocents that you read further, you read about in Matthew's gospel, and Herod has all the children 2 years old and younger, the male. You know, he has them killed. They call it the slaughter of the innocents. So those are some clues as to, you know what, these wise men probably showed up a little bit later. But you know what? Regardless of all of those things, right, those wise men did show up. They came. Right? They show up first in Jerusalem, and they ask probably the most dangerous question that you could ask King Herod at that time, and that is, well, where's this child that has been born king of the Jews? Now, why was that a dangerous question? Because King Herod was all about power, and he was paranoid about that. This is what he had learned. His father, Antipater, was king, and he had been slain by a bunch of palace plotters. They poisoned him to death because they were searching for power. And so when Herod becomes king at the age of about 25, one of the first things he does is to throw a party. An invitation-only party at the palace. And guess who he invites? Those who had plotted against his father. He invites them to the party. And then, as you can imagine, he has his hitmen take them out. So you know, he exacts a little bit. Revenge, he doesn't want the same thing happen to him. So he takes out those. He's so paranoid, though, that he actually has some of his own family members killed as well. Like his wife, all right? He has his mother-in-law, maybe a little more understandable, I don't know, but a brother-in-law. He even has three of his own sons executed. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire at the time, said this about Herod. He said he'd rather be Herod's pig than one of his family members. Because this is the kind of person Herod was. He was paranoid, and he was power hungry, and he would do anything to keep that power. And so when these out-of-towners show up in Jerusalem asking where this king is, he's definitely interested. Right? He wants to know about this king as well. Right? So you got the wise men, the Magi seeking, right, Jesus. You have Herod seeking Jesus. The difference is it's the motive behind each one, right? The wise men, they're outsiders. They're not Jewish. They don't have the scriptures memorized, all right? They're not insiders of the faith, but they've been given a sign. They've been given a star, haven't they? And the star is telling them, hey, you know what? God might be up to something here, something new. And so they just have a star. I think they know something about the prophecies, but that they don't have everything, but that's enough to get them moving. That's enough to get them seeking. And so out of their curiosity, out of their hope, out of their courage, they begin to look. And it's interesting when Matthew tells us when they find him, this is what Matthew says. It says, when they saw that the star had stopped, meaning over where the child was, that they were overwhelmed with joy. This is what they experienced. Joy. They're not overthinking this, not overanalyzing it. They're just filled with joy. And then they go on. It says that Matthew tells us they, on entering the house, so not a manger, or not a stable, they saw the child, not a baby, the child, with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and they paid him homage. In other words, they kneel down and they worship him. And as we know, they give what they have, right? They opened their treasure chest. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, because Herod's motive was different than theirs, they left for their own country by another road. And there are a few things we can learn from these wise men, right? One, I think, is just how to follow Jesus. I mean, they realized that there was something more in life, and so they sought it, or they sought him out, I should say. And in doing that seeking, what did they discover? What did they experience? It said, Matthew tells us, they experienced joy. And in response, what did they do? They knelt, they worshiped, and they offered him their gifts. And because of that experience, what happens? Their direction is changed, right? They go home by another way. That's what happens when you meet Jesus, I think. It changes us, transforms us. It changes our direction. What's important in life, how we live our life, maybe what we pursue, how we look at our lives. And so here's these wise men who are seekers. And in their seeking, what do they discover? They find life. Now, Matthew tells us that, and as I mentioned before, you get the wise men seeking. You have Herod seeking, though. And again, he has a different motive. He's seeking Jesus. Why? Well, because he's frightened. It says, when King Herod heard of this, he was frightened. Why would you be frightened? Well, if you are all about power and keeping that power, and you hear of a possible threat, that can be a frightening thing, and you want to do something about that, because that's who he sees Jesus as this. And so Herod is seeking to preserve his power. He's not seeking truth, all right? He's looking to control. And so he's not asking, who is this child? He's asking the question, okay, how can I protect what's mine, in other words? And so what does he do? He pretends. He uses religious language, and he smiles, and he says to the wise men, hey, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I might also go and pay an homage. In other words, so I can go and worship him as well. Now, we know that's not true, right? It's not devotion that's motivating him. It's not dedication. It's manipulation. He's misusing the wise men, or at least he's attempting to, isn't he? I mean, I can relate to that to a degree. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think there's a tendency for us to misuse one another. Maybe not intentionally, or definitely not to the extent that Herod was attempting to do. But there are times where, you know what, we might use someone to maybe get ahead, to get our way, to gain favor. Has that ever happened? We can see people as objects and not really as people. I mean, I think there might be a little bit of Herod in us, right? We have a tendency to misuse people. I mean, I know I've done it. When my kids were much smaller, and I shared on Christmas Eve, where I've shared before, you know, a lot of times they would have a bad dream or something would upset them. And so sometimes they would come into our room. Other times you would just hear them, you know, from down the hallway. You'd hear one of them crying, you would hear something. And most of the time, I would hear them. I'm a light sleeper, and so I would hear them first. Okay? Mindy, my wife, I think she wouldn't always hear them first. Now, if I was snoring, she would hear that first, I'll tell you that, okay? Always. Still to this day. But sometimes I don't think she'd always hear the kids. Or maybe she was doing the same thing I was doing. And that would be trying to ignore it, right? I would sometimes hear one of the kids first, and so if Minnie wasn't moving, sometimes I would, you know, I'd nudge or poke or something in the hopes that she would awake and she would hear those kids, one of those kids crying or whatever it was, and that would just move her to want to jump up out of bed and go run by their bedside. Right? I mean, I would try to wait her out. Let me just be honest. Okay? There would be times where I would just try to wait her out. Because, you know what? If you're in a nice, warm, and comfortable bed, you don't want to get out. Right? You don't want to get up in the middle of the night. And so I was always hoping that Mindy would go and do that. Now, what was I doing? sort of misusing Mindy to get what I wanted. What I wanted was to stay in bed and not have to get up. And so I was doing everything to encourage Mindy to go and to tend to them. I mean, we have a tendency to misuse folks from time to time. Again, not to the extreme as Herod, but it sort of starts in the same place, I think. I mean, Herod's attempting to use the wise men to get what he wanted, and that was, hey, identify this child so I can do away with this child because I see this as a threat to my control and to my power. It's a little bit of Herod in us, I think, sometimes. I mean, there's times where we want Jesus. You know, Herod wanted Jesus, right? But for all the wrong reasons. And I think sometimes we do the same. We want Jesus as long as it doesn't challenge our comforts. We want Jesus to get us out of the hole that we've gotten ourselves into, but we just don't want Jesus to tell us how to avoid the hole, right? You know, we want God's blessing, but we don't always want to really worship him. You know, we might be seeking like Herod. We might be seeking Jesus for all the wrong reasons sometimes. We can do that, I think. I mean, the wise men are seeking. You got Herod seeking. But have you ever noticed there's actually a third set of seekers in this passage? If you're not paying attention, they can get overlooked. It's actually the chief priests and the scribes. Matthew tells us, calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, meaning Herod, of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. And so here you have the chief priest, and you have the scribes. They know the prophecies. They know the scriptures. And they have the right answer. They know where this child, the Messiah, would be born. I mean, Bethlehem, there it is. And yet, they stay put, don't they? I mean, there, Jerusalem. Bethlehem is not that far from Jerusalem. And yet, they don't go. And so, here they are. They might look like seekers on the outside, but in reality, they're not seeking at all. They're just sort of going through the motions, in other words. You know, they're busy doing religious things. Right? They know the scriptures. They know the Bible. They know the right answers. That doesn't necessarily mean they're people of faith. They're maybe not committed to or truly following. See, here's the thing. Faith that never moves our feet may not be faith. Because faith transforms. It changes our directions. All right? Calls us to go another way, I believe. And so if we're not careful, we can be really religious, like the chief priest and the scribes, and not necessarily following Jesus or having faith. So we may not be really seeking at all, like those chief priests and scribes who you would think would have gone as well, and yet they stay put. So here's the thing. Wise men and Herod and the chief priests and scribes, they all get the same news, don't they? Right? They all get the news that the Messiah has been born. Right? That God has entered the world through his son, Jesus Christ. And yet each of them respond in a different way. The wise men, they respond with worship and joy. Herod responds with fear and violence. The religious leaders, they just respond with indifference. Same news, same Christ, right? Just different hearts. Which I think is a good picture for us. Because here's the deal. We're all seeking something, aren't we, right? We're seeking meaning or security. We're seeking happiness or joy, hope, control. We're seeking life. The question just really becomes, I believe, for us is, well, then what kind of seeker are we going to be then? Are we going to be like the wise men who kneel before the one that was born in Bethlehem and worship him and offer him what we have? We'll be like Herod and try to just control everything and stay in control, you know, and maybe, you know, seek Jesus for all the wrong reasons, or just simply be indifferent, you know, like those chief priests and scribes, and you know, be religious, but not really be seeking faith. My hope is that we'll be more like those magi, those wise men. 3, 4, 5, 6, we don't know. But we'd be more like them. And that we would seek the one born in Bethlehem, worship the one born in Bethlehem, offer what we have to the one born in Bethlehem, be changed and transformed by the one born in Bethlehem, and in doing so find life and joy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come as people, I believe, who are still looking. Some of us, we come like those wise men, like those magi, and we come with questions, but we come with hope and just enough light to keep us moving. Some of us, we come like Herod, wanting to hold on tight to control, maybe afraid of what we might lose. Some of us, we come with knowledge, maybe hesitant to take the next step, to take that step of faith. Wherever we come from, O Lord, I pray that you would meet us where we are, to give us courage not to seek comfort but to seek your truth, not control but to trust you, to seek not just information but allow you to transform us. And so, Lord, may we indeed kneel before you rather than trying to negotiate with you. May we worship you instead of resisting you. May we offer you what we have, right? Even if it costs us something. Lord, call us. And then to send us home by another road. Send us home changed, humbled, filled with joy. This we pray in the name of Christ, the one born in Bethlehem, the one who seeks us first always. For in his name we pray. Amen.